This is Voice of SBV.
From the SBV Digital Studio for Podcasts, you are about to listen to a speech from a very successful leader, an internationally and nationally acclaimed biotechnologist and policymaker with a profound research experience, Professor Dr. S.R. Rao. He is currently holding the position of Vice President at SBV. He is at the helm of affairs in promoting research, product development, facilitating the procurement of grants from government and non-government organizations. SBV has seen a tremendous growth in its tenure, and its development to support and encourage good research can be very well felt in the areas of SBV research and development. He also advises and offers suggestions for many other decision makers for university-related affairs. He was a senior advisor to the Department of Biotechnology, and he has been pivotal in most of the research and development at the central government level. He has expertise in core and cross-sectoral policy issues of biotechnology development, regulation, biosafety, biosecurity, especially in newer generation technologies such as genetic engineering and genome editing, synthetic biology, One Health policies and biotech innovation and development, public concerns, communication and consensus building. He is the convener of the Global Alliance for Pandemic Preparedness and Response, which is abbreviated as APAR, Advancing Global Health Security Through South-to-South and North-to-South Collaboration. He has also published 55 well-cited research papers in national, international journals of high repute. He has visited more than 80 countries on scientific and official matters and made more than 100 scientific and technical presentations which were well received in cutting-edge area of biological sciences. Now, I welcome Sir to this podcast series themed on personal development. I invite him to share his notions and ideas on leadership. The topic he would be discussing today will be on diversity in leadership.
Welcome to all the listeners. Thanks for this opportunity to share with you some of my views on leadership with all the experience that have been narrated to you. You have heard Dr. Parija, my previous speaker, who is the Vice Chancellor of the university. What is leadership and what are the qualities of leader? Now what I'll do, I'll touch in few minutes, what is the diversity in leadership and types of leaders. You know, there are lots of literature about leaders. If you go to the Google or any other textbook on leadership, but the traditional literature only identifies three different types of leaders. Let me just describe these leaders. Well, one of them most favorite for me is a democratic leader. In a democracy, you have people elected and they come to the position by consensus. And these democratic leaders will actually discuss issues in a huge stakeholder forums, who concern and who are affected with the particular issue, and they take decisions based on consensus. Quite often with the lot of information from technologists and then also leaders of different parties at the political level, even at organization level, different stakeholders are consulted. Now let us go to the second type of leader. The second type of leader is autocratic. As opposite to the democratic leader, he is defined by the top-down approach. Whatever he tells is the decision-making, procedures, policies within organization. And an autocratic leader focuses on less on collecting inputs from others or his team members, tends to make an executive decisions that others are expected to only follow. This type of leader has no respect to anybody opinion. Actually, he has no respect to anybody's opinion, and he takes his own decisions. But quite often what we have seen in the history is these autocratic leaders like Hitler, Stalin, for example, the typical examples, they have been very insecure and all alone. As you know, Hitler has to commit suicide alone, and Stalin has to die without the notice of his own colleagues and family. Now let us go to the third type of one, who is in between these two leaders. This fair leader is called laissez-faire in case of French language. It is called laissez-faire. That means he takes hands-off approach. He doesn't take any responsibility of his own. He deliberates all his executive decisions to people and use enough resources and tools to them to take decisions. But what happens is he doesn't monitor and he distances himself from what is the day-to-day work. This type of leadership is you will find in most of the artistic works, because where individual artists have their own style of functioning, and advertisement agencies, even the so-called startups, whether it is business startups or it is trade startups or whether they are technology startups, it all depends on individual innovation capacity. So the leader of the such organizations, he usually gets investment and then hands off from what is happening at the lower level. It's a very dangerous approach, but that's also one of the styles of a leadership. Now, there are many combinations between democratic leaders, autocratic leaders, democratically autocratic leaders, autocratically democratic leaders, and you have got leaders who hands off, leaders who also at the same time. So the whatever leadership you see in different professions, whether it is bureaucratic profession or diplomatic profession, charismatic leaders, emotional leaders, political leaders, union leaders, it all depends only the individual personality mixed up with these three types of broad generic trends, you know. So therefore, if somebody classifies into several types, you see the literature now, people classify the leaders into several types. However, in terms of functionality, there are only three types. Quite often, there is also, let us shift our gear towards another issue. You see, you find that three generations of our first Prime Minister, Jawaharlal Nehru, had successfully became Prime Ministers. Whether it is Madam Indira Gandhi or Rajiv Gandhi, or now, of course, they want to put one more. Even George Bush and family, John Adams, John F. Kennedy, and so on. So is it that leadership inherited, or is it leadership is heritable? Leadership is leadership genetically inherited, or there is any genetic background in terms of leaders which are born? So that the question which is often asked is whether leadership is inherited or there is genetic background for leadership. Such type of question can be seriously answered through scientific experiments using the subjects which are having similar background in terms of all other characters except for one or two parameters related to leadership. And usually these type of studies are done with identical twins. And such studies have been done, and the statistical analysis revealed that genetic factors account to about 31% of the variation observed in the sample. And there appears to be a gene called RS4950 as an inherited DNA sequence in leaders who take charge leadership, although they have to become and acquire skills and education to really become successful leaders. However, genetic studies show that at least a quarter of the observed variation in the leadership trait has a basis of inheritance. But that does not limit people to become leaders without any genetic influence, because we have lots of examples, people becoming leaders. So one need not be disappointed that, you see, for example, the current Prime Minister has no background of any genes. He comes from the grassroots level. So therefore, leaders have a genetic background, but the value addition can be made on them by definitely the skills, capacity, education, exposure, all those things. But leaders can also be made by grooming, by exposure, same factors. Which means, because you see, leader has to manage not one, sometimes hundreds and thousands and millions of minds. But if you can't manage yourself, how are you going to manage so many people? So the leader has to first manage himself. To manage himself, he should have all the talent. For such challenging task of leaders, leader should have attitude to serve, leader should have attitude to listen, they should be bold, and decision makers should have cutting edge knowledge and expertise in the area of profession, whether it is science, politics, bureaucracy, anything. Above all, there should be a commitment also. If you don't have a commitment and passion, I have not seen anybody succeeding as a leader in a small area, regionally or locally, whatever it is. But most important thing is, quite often, a well-accomplished leader faces is that he has to sacrifice sometimes. He has to learn to sacrifice, and he should have an extreme patience and tolerance and so on. Now, this is the background of inheritance and then how the leaders are made. But what happened was, during this COVID-19 pandemic, for me, I thought there are business leaders, there are political leaders, there are economic leaders, educationists. What happens with the healthcare? COVID-19 exposed one important fact. Today, we also need very effective healthcare leaders who do not only have a clinical background, but they should be skilled enough to have a huge managerial, technological, and also require scientific understanding of problems, communication, negotiation and business skills, motivating administrators, because most of the hospitals and clinics, operations and the healthcare are run by various levels of administrators. So you should have an ability to motivate administrators. So it is not necessary that healthcare managers need be a MBBS doctors or anything like that, or somebody who has got a qualification in Master of Public Health or something like that. But he can also acquire these skills so post-COVID era for health administrators is also important. What we see that the technology is going so fast. Unless they stay ahead of the competition of today's healthcare landscape, the healthcare leader will be at the most a failure. So in a dynamic and unpredictable scenario, like pandemic, epidemics, Nipah, which came as an outbreak in a small place, you know what happened when Nipah came? Suddenly, it was in a very small area, but it can spread and damage the entire state as well as the nation and nations. It can become translational. So in that case, the local leadership is very important. So a scientist from Manipal University, and then a politician who is a health minister, and then the intelligence forces, police forces, they formed a group. And it was under the leadership of a woman health minister, so who spontaneously rose to the occasion, and she became a healthcare leader, being a politician, being also very naive to any of the treatment schedules or Nipah virus as such. So, but the people lauded her efforts of controlling Nipah and saving hundreds of lives getting affected. So we talked about so far leadership, health leadership, different sectors, and address their challenges and pros and cons of each type of leadership. Now the question is, should a given organization should have a diversity in leadership at different levels, or they should be one leader with one type of mindset? I think the answer quite often is, in the current scenario, it is important to have diversity in the working place with diverse leadership qualities is very important. The benefits and diversity of leadership can be realized only in terms of new innovations, new happenings, because managing 10 individuals with different backgrounds will have a higher chances of developing a broad idea of the organization covering broad spectrum of activities. Similarly, you have a advertisement people with different skills and different backgrounds, and these skills are combined, whether it is cinematography or that is a direction, whether it is a production, acting. Scores of people are engaged in a very successful movie. India has been one of the countries where such individual skilled labor leaders coming together and producing some monumental movies. I was moved about the story. If you people are impressed about Bahubali 1 and 2. But if you see in making of Bahubali, the highlight of this, the war scene which you have seen, was shot for 6 months with a cast of 3,000 men and women and 200 to 300 horses, and with crores of rupees and a dozen of elephants on a specially laid city, which itself is a very monumental task. And who was the leader for this? Is it the director Rajamouli, or is it cinematographer, or is it the music director Keeravani? We can't say that. One director with so many diverse leaders within the organization have made the story as an all-time hit. So that means organizations should have different skill levels of leadership within and led by a leader who respects these skills. So it is not essential that only one skilled man runs the show in this current situation. I'll end some important end with the old episode today from my side with some diverse statements at the same time. Sundar Pichaya, the IT technology leader, says, I'll repeat, a person who is happy is not because everything is right in his life. He is happy because his attitude towards everything in his life is right. So finally, it is the attitude that matters to you. Our father, Mahatma Gandhi, the national icon, says his history of the world is full of men who rose to the leadership by sheer force of self-confidence, bravery and tenacity. The self-confidence, bravery and tenacity are three important traits which can go a long way in making the leaders. Finally, I'll quote Nelson Mandela, who fought for apartheid for years in South Africa to become a father of a nation. He later says, it is better to lead from behind and put others in front. It is better to lead from behind and to put others in front, especially when you celebrate victory, when nice things occur. You take the front line as a leader when there is a danger. Then people will appreciate your leadership. Thank you very much.
This is Voice of SBV.